Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. Stay connected by following us on social media at Freedom House OC. We hope you enjoy this message.
Somebody clap for the miracle working power of God. Amen. Shout amen. God is good. Just tell your neighbor, say, you're sitting in a miracle. Say, you're sitting in a miracle. You're sitting in a miracle. You're sitting in a miracle. You know, today being the last Sunday of 2017, I'm really excited to share with you this thought. And to kind of preface it, for it being the last Sunday, I was just saying, which direction should I go? I had the new series we're going to start for the new year. I've been preparing that for months now. And I was talking with the team, and we were talking with the team. We're just like, we got to just minister that this Sunday. I can't even wait to the new year to preach what I want to share with you. So I'm going to share that today. Come on, somebody. And to set us up for the greatest 2018 that God would have for all of us. Because here's what I believe. God will not give you a cup that he does not want to overflow. That's what he said, that he would overflow our cup. And so us who are called by God, all of us who know Jesus, that where we start is not where he wants you to finish. That where he saved us is not where he wants us to stay, but he wants to move us into a greater capacity and into a greater place. And so today, there are many Sundays that I take on the hat of a preacher, of a teacher, and which is necessary for the equipment of the saints. We preach to inspire, we teach to equip. But today I really feel like I'm going to take on the hat or the office, as Ephesians tells us, the prophets, the apostles, the teachers, the pastors, and the evangelists. But today I'm really going to take the office of a prophet. And, what I mean by prophetic, okay, if it's your first time here, I'm not going to throw my jacket on you. Chill out, okay? Okay, like, what are we doing? Okay, but the office of the prophetic is to speak to the future. And so this morning I'm going to operate in the prophetic unction, and I want to speak to your future. I want to talk to the future you, the future of what your marriage will become, what it will be, what your life will step into. Can I do that this morning? Amen. Okay. So a lot of what I'm going to share is to the future you. There are a lot of places that feed your past. I want to feed your future with the word from God. And so I want to take that role, as the scriptures declare, an office of what the prophetic is, or what God would have for us stepping into this new year. And I want to speak that while we're still sitting in 2017, because technically we're not in 2018 yet. And so speaking that from this place of 2017 into what we're about to step into. I think it's kind of cool that the last day of the year landed on a Sunday. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. Really, it's like, oh man, what an inconvenience. No, it's perfect for us believers. Amen. I had plans. Yeah, plan to come to church. Come on now. Amen. This is your plans. And so I think it's special that we can spend this last day together and speak into that. Because the fact that you're in this room, you made it. Okay? You made it. And God has a gift for every person that's in this room, and it's called a new year. It's a gift. It's not a right. It's my right. No. There are a lot of people that didn't make it into 2018. There are a lot of people that right now, they're in a hospital bed. A lot of people that 2017 was their last year. But God has a gift for you, if he tarries, that he's going to give you a whole nother year. But let's make sure it's a new year. Let's make sure God does something great. Come on, somebody. All right? So I want to share with you, I was going to wait till next week to do this, but it's in my spirit. My wife's making fun of me because I have a hard time. During this season, I have a hard time writing 2017 because I'm writing 2018 and everything, because my mind is already like in 2018. And so I want to talk to you today, the word of the year, of what I believe 2018 is going to be for us as a church, for us as a family, and for what I believe God has for all of us. Can I do that this morning? Yeah. All right. Thank you for the permission, because I was going to do it anyway. Come on now. That's what I prepared. But I want to read you this verse because it connects all of us. So as I speak, as a church, I'm speaking to all of us. I'm not talking to some, inanimate organization or organism. I'm talking to all of us. We are the church. Tell your neighbor, say, we're the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the people that are called to build the kingdom of God here upon earth. And so I want to read you this verse that really sprung in my spirit that I believe we'll step into prophetically as the people of God. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, this is not you don't have to stand to your feet. I have a whole message, but I'm kind of intertwining these two things together. And my iPad doesn't want to work, and that's okay. That's why I bring my Bible. Don't mess with me. I'm ready. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, and they'll put it on the screens. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. It's a good thing I study. Come on now. The devil tried to attack my iPad, but he can't mess with my spirit. All right, sorry. All right. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. The Bible says this. It says, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied." What does the Bible say there? What? Multiplied greatly. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly. The Bible says that in context, Luke is writing about the account of how the church began now to multiply as that started getting established. In Acts chapter 2, as you see, we're in Acts 6 in this verse here, but in Acts 2, the Bible says that the church starts in the upper room and the Holy Spirit fell upon it, and the disciples, people started getting saved, and they started meeting in homes, and they started becoming established. Well, the scripture declares that once the church started being established, that this phenomenon took place, this exponential multiplication started to birth into the people of God, that this movement started taking place because the roots were dug deep. And here's what I believe what has happened in 2017 for Freedom House Church. When we declared it to be the year of supernatural increase, it wasn't only that we were going to increase bursting out, but I believe the increase was our roots digging deep and us metaphorically putting a stake in the ground and putting our roots right here. Come on now. The roots. And so now I believe that 2018, what I've been sensing in my spirit is that 2017 for Freedom House Church is going to be a year of multiplication and acceleration. Come on, somebody in this house. 2018 is a very significant year for us as a church family. It is a year in which Freedom House will officially turn 10 years old. We're 10. Double digits. We turn 10 years old. 10 is the biblical number of test. Okay? We passed the test. I said we passed the test. So when you pass the test, guess what happens? It now becomes your testimony. And what I feel is as a church family, 10 is a number of tests. We passed the test. Testimony is that we have given God a metaphorical tithe, 10 years to God. And now I sense in my spirit that God is saying, I'm getting ready to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a multiplication, acceleration, anointing upon this house and every house that's connected. Come on, somebody, to this place. Someone say, multiply and accelerate. I feel that's what's going to happen this year. That God, we're going to reap. You're going to reap. Come on, say amen. If you don't receive it, I'll reap it for you then. Lord, they didn't want it. Send it to me, Lord. Okay. Multiplication. So I feel that this word is not only going to be a word for a year, but the next decade of Freedom House. So I want you to put that first slide up there if you can. The year of multiplication and acceleration. Say amen. We're going to multiply. We're going to accelerate. We're going to go forward into new levels. Put that next graphic up there, because this is what's going to happen. The year of multiplication and acceleration. Hashtag multiply 2018, decade of freedom. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Come on, Freedom House times two. Where's that grace for five? Put that one up there. Put the grace for five one up there. Come on, somebody, because we're about to multiply. We're not done. We're just getting started. Hey. So Freedom House, you know, that X is the number of 10, is 10. 10 years, Freedom House turning 10. We're getting ready to multiply. We'll birth out the next Freedom House. This is Freedom House 1. Get ready for Freedom House 2. Get ready for Freedom House 3, 4, 5, all over Orange County. We are going to win Orange County for Jesus and give it to God. Come on, somebody, for the glory of God. Put the next one up there, the year of multiplication and acceleration. I want you to receive this, okay? Receive this and pray with me. In 2018, it'll be a year that I believe we want to see that happen. Now, what does it pertain to all of us as the disciples multiplied greatly? Thank you for the emphasis right there. We like planned that. No, I'm just joking. Come on now. What that means, when the disciples multiplied greatly, it means that the kingdom was established in a greater dimension. When the people of God are stronger, the things of God are stronger. It's going to happen in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces. There's going to be a revival that's going to sweep this land. Anybody still hungry for revival? Anybody still hunger for a fresh move of God? I am. I don't want to die. I don't want to go out all religious and I just go to church with a bad attitude. No, I want to live with revival, with the move of God. That's what's going to happen. Amen. Let's pray. Bow your head. I feel this holy moment. God, as we declare this next decade of freedom over this house and every house that's connected to this house, I feel prophetically that this will be a year, Lord, of multiplication and acceleration. We've passed a test. So that means it's now a testimony. And Father, I declare and I decree under a prophetic unction and anointing that God, we are about to see a multiplication take place like we have never seen before. That Heavenly Father, in this place, God, there are going to be multipliers raised up in this house. There are going to be people that have a multiplied anointing raised up in this house. That God, in this place, there are going to be families, men and women. No more division. Now comes multiplication in your home and marriage. We declare, Father, that we're going to see, Lord, a movement multiply. It's going to accelerate. I feel this in my spirit. It's going to come quicker than you thought. You're not going to have to wait 10, 20, 30 years. God said it's going to come quicker because you have honored him. You have sowed. You have put your roots down deep. And God says it's going to come accelerated. He did not give you a cup so it can remain empty. He gave you a cup to the overflow. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about anointing. I'm talking about power. I'm talking about strength. Your worship is going to multiply. The presence of God is going to multiply. Wisdom is going to multiply. Multiply. I pray love begin to multiply in your home. I pray the things of God begin. And why not? Let finances also multiply. Let it all multiply in your life. We thank you for this, Lord, as we seek to build the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody say, amen. Come on, give God one more hand clap. Are you ready, church, for 2018? I am. Wow, God is good. Well, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to jump into this morning's teaching. As you know, we're going to start a new series, and I was going to start this the new year, but we're going to start this today. And I want to start a new series today because I believe in order for us to multiply and accelerate, we first got to move. Someone say move. You got to move. You got to move. And so I'm going to minister this message. Don't worry. I'm not going to, like, you're like, you serious? You're going to preach a whole sermon after that? Stay with me, okay? I'm going to give you an introduction, all right? And it's going to be a solid. I got a couple points for you. But if you did not get a message outline when you walked in, lift your hands and the ushers will give that to you. They're the points of my message as well as the verses I'll be reading with you. And then grab your Bibles and go with me to Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 10 through 13 through 20. Let's see here. Nope. Okay. I think my iPad gave up the ghost. All right. It's a good thing I know my message. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 13 through 14, and we will be good to go. And then once you got your Bibles and your message outline, why don't you stand to your feet with me, and we will read the Word of God together for the reading of the Word of the Lord, and we will do this together. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10 through verse number 14. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to read it from the screens, being that my iPad there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, 13, and 14. This is how you know the pastor really studied, because he knows his sermon. Come on, somebody. Verse 10. Everybody loves to preach. Nobody wants to study. It's a stereo generation that wants to study the Word of God. Say amen. All right. The Bible says this. Paul writes this to the church in Philippi, and he says that I may know him. Listen, I could preach on that all day today, but Paul's desire was just to know God, that I may know him, he says, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul had a desire to know God, to know him in his power, and even know God and suffer for him. Verse number 13, Paul then writes this to the church in Philippi. He says, brethren, now he's not only talking to the brothers, okay? He's also talking to the ladies. Come on, ladies, all right? He says, brothers and sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended it. I love the humility of Paul because, see, there's a lot of believers that think they got it all figured out. Paul was like, I don't got it all figured out. You know, people come in, I already know what he has to say. Really? Paul was like, there's still things for me to learn. Is there still things for you to learn, believer? Come on now. He says, I haven't apprehended. I don't got it all figured out. He says, but there is one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to the things which are ahead. I love this. Paul said, he doesn't do 10 things. He does what? One thing. One thing I do. He says, I forget what's behind me, and I press towards what's ahead. In other words, he moves. I want to minister to you today a message that I've entitled, It's Your Move. It's Your Move. Here we go. 2018 is upon us. It's your move. Bow your head and let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you because you love us before you first loved us, God. So we love you. And so, God, this morning we gather with great anticipation, with hearts wide open for the purposes of God to be fulfilled in our lives. We humble ourselves before you because we love you, Jesus. Speak to us on this last day of 2017 as we prepare to enter 2018, Lord. May it truly be a new year filled with faith, worship, prayer, relationship with God. We want to know you in a greater dimension, in a greater capacity. We thank you, God, and we're ready for the year of multiplication and acceleration. We're ready to move. Give me the grace to communicate this message. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Somebody say, amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated. Tell a few people around you. Tell them it's your move. Tell them that. Say, it's your move. We want to welcome all those who will watch our television program, A Heart After God, and listen to this via podcast. You are in the room with us. Amen. Isn't God good? Someone say, move. But not right now. Stay in your seat. Okay, we'll move a little bit later. I want to talk to you about move because, you see, the Bible is a book of God moving. Bible is a book of moves. God actually introduces to us himself with a big move. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Someone say, he moved, okay? He moved. See, Genesis chapter 1 begins with God saying that he made a move and he created all of this because God is a God that is constantly moving. You keep reading on the scripture, the Bible then says that the Spirit of God was hovering or moving upon the depths of the earth. In other words, God is constantly moving. He is constantly, you know, looking to do something. He is constantly looking to move about and to work in the life of people, in the life of believers. And I love that about our God, that he constantly moves. He is a moving God. Anybody want God to move in your life? I want him to move in my life. God, move. But you know what I also found out about moving is that sometimes I don't always like moving. Who loves to move your house? Raise your hand. Who loves to move? Raise your hand if you like to move. Nobody raised your hand, by the way. Everybody was like, I'm not raising my hand for that one, right? I mean, let's be honest. You find out who your real friends are when you move. Be real. You find out your real friends. When it's time to move, you're like, hey, bro, help me move. And you always call that person with the truck. We're the people that have trucks. We love you, all you truck owners. You are phenomenal. You are a blessing to God. You got the truck to help us move, by the way. That's why you got the truck. I want to let you know that when you got that truck, you told all of us that we can call you for moving purposes, all right? You know, but you know, you find out who your real friends are when it's time to move, because when it's time to move, you're like, you feed them, you know, pizza from Little Caesars, and you give them the $5 one, not the extra cheese $6 one, and you're like, come on, for real? Not even that. I found out recently we're doing some projects here at the church, and they told me, would you like to upgrade it to $6 with extra cheese? And I'm like, go ahead, we love the interns, put extra cheese on that. Come on, somebody, give God a clap, because we love our interns with extra cheese. Hallelujah. But And so we got the $6. We know we like to bless people around here. And so I said, go ahead, give them the $6 one. So we have, but you know, let's just be honest. When you move, you're like, you're paying people with pizza, and you find out how your real friends are when you move. But you know what else you feel like when you move? Because I mean, I'll be honest, I don't like moving. I hate moving. I really dislike. I disdain it. Oh Lord Jesus, help me. Moving is terrible. But you know, years ago when we moved, here's the problem about moving that I found out is when you move, you find out that you were storing junk. You start like moving, you're like, why was I storing trash? Talk to me, who got junk drawers up in this place? Where's the junk? Someone, who has two junk drawers? Who got like a junk garage? You know, come on, you know, What's in there? I don't know. It's just junk. It's like, why would you're paying for all that? And I start moving. You start finding out you got all this junk. You're like, all this junk. You're like, I've been storing all of this junk. And the truth, you don't see it until you move. You don't even realize you got all that trash, the old shirt, all that old paperwork, receipts. I mean, you got like maybe a child you haven't seen in 10 years. Come on, somebody, I'm joking. You're like, what is going on? All this trash, I hadn't even seen it in 10 years. And I realized that you don't even realize the trash is there until you move. Here's what God told me to tell somebody sitting on this 2017 is that I know there might be some stuff that you might have to deal with when you have to move, but don't you let the, oh, come on now. Don't you allow the stuff to stop you from moving. Because when you decide to move, you're going to find some stuff. There's going to be some junk in the trunk. Some mess that you're like, because see, we don't see it while everything's looking pretty. But the truth is, when you decide to move, you got to start moving stuff because you ran out of space. You're like, man, everybody's trying to, you know, all my three kids are trying to use one sink. Everyone's trying to get into what, and you're like, man, I got to move because I need more space. And the reality is, I feel that some of us in this place, God is saying, I have taken you from one place, but you got into comfortable. I now want to move you into a greater space. I want to move you into a new dimension. But you're gonna have to deal with some stuff. Throw away some trash. Throw away some things. But see, oftentimes we get comfortable, and what stops us is we're so comfortable that I don't wanna move because I don't wanna deal with it. That's why I love the book of Philippians, and that's why I love Paul. Context, because Paul is writing the book of Philippians to the church that is in Philippi. And the book of Philippians is actually Paul writing to this church that is newly started, is growing, is thriving, is being established in the midst of a Roman culture where churches should not be surviving, where churches are shutting down, where the Roman Empire is so hard on them that they're persecuting Christians, they're killing them at the stake, they're hating on them. I'm not talking about not liking their pictures on Instagram. Come on, somebody. I'm being persecuted. Nobody like my Facebook post. Come on, somebody. Okay, I'm talking like real persecution, all right? And praise the Lord. But, you know, I lost 4 followers because I posted a scripture. Oh, my goodness. Come on, sir. Lord be with you. And so, you know, they were going under persecution, but Paul is encouraging them because in the midst of this Roman culture that was very secular, was very, you know, educated, was very philosophical, was very, very economic. You know, today we still use much of Rome's, you know, infrastructure, even in American culture, government-wise, senators and all this stuff. It was very influential. It could be very much like today's culture. Paul is writing to this church and he's encouraging them to keep moving forward. I love it because in Philippians chapter 1, Paul actually speaks to the church about his personal sufferings. Because Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi. Watch this now. This is going to help you in the verses we just read. He is writing the whole book of Philippians to the church in Philippi because he is anticipating his release from prison. And he's saying, I'm writing you before I'm released from the place that's been trying to keep me captive. And in chapter 1, he talks about his sufferings. In chapter 2, he talks about the benefits of the believer. But in chapter 3, he says, I want to encourage you, believer, that you should not stop, but you got to keep moving forward. And he begins to say, I want to tell you, I want to know him, not just in church, but I want to know his power and the resurrection. And I want to know him even in his suffering. And then he says, I'll tell you what else I want to know. I want to know that there's one thing I do is I don't know it all. But one thing I do is I forget what's behind me and I press on to what's ahead. Paul's like, there's one thing I know. And he tells him this, guys, if you're going to move forward, he said, there's one thing I know. Someone say one thing. He says, I forget what's behind me and I press on to what's ahead. Paul is encouraging the believers to continue to move forward. But I love what Paul says here. Paul says one thing, not 10 things. How many things? How many? One thing. He says, watch this, Philippians chapter 4 and 13. Put it up, I'm sorry, 3 and 14, 3 and 13, I'm sorry. Philippians 3, 13, put it up on the screen, here it goes. I do not count myself to apprehend, but one thing I do. What does he do? Forget the things which are behind. Here's what God showed me. That you can never move forward until you can move on from what's behind you. You can't. See, this New Year's, I know many of us are going to have tons of goals, tons of aspirations, tons of resolutions. This year, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do here and this. I want to lose 10 pounds. You know, this year I want to find my Papi Chulo. You know, I want to find my man of God. You know, this year I want to apply for that raise. This year, you know, I want to finally be, you know, healed in my marriage. This year I want to be a better dad. This year I want to be a better mom. This year, you know, I want to finally get it, read my Bible. This year I want to pray more. This year I want to go to church more than I went last year. You know, and we're going to have all of these goals, but Paul did not start with writing his goals. Paul said one thing I do is first I deal with the trash and then it gives me permission to move forward. And the reality is we will not be able to step into the greater thing until we first deal with the past thing. So I have one question for you today. One point. I know the time. Stay with me, okay? I got about an hour and a half left. We're good. No, I'm just joking. I see the clamor. One point for you. Write this down. Write this down. Write this down quickly here. Write this down. My question for you today is, what do you need to move on from? Because we cannot move forward until we move on. You cannot press towards the mark until you get healed from your past. What do you need to move on from? Paul said, one thing I do, I forget what's behind, and then I have permission to move forward. Because if we take the trash with us from the old house to the new place, then we will have the old place in a new place. You never really have a new place. And so all we're doing is we're going into new years with the same old junk from previous years. So the truth is you really don't have a new year. You just have a new date with the same old stuff. Paul says, one thing I do, I get healed from this, and then I have permission to move on to this. Okay, because here's the reality. Tonight, you know, if you come here, you're going to party with us, praise party, show, you know, or wherever you're going to go hang out, you're like, I just do the New York New Year's Eve, and at 9 p.m. I go to bed by 9:30. God bless you. That's cool. You know, wherever you're going to go. But here's the reality. When it goes from 11:59 to 12 o'clock, nothing changes if you don't change. If you got a stink attitude at 9:59, I'm not looking at nobody, I'm looking at the ground, okay? Why do you look at me? I'm looking at the ground. If you got a stink attitude at 9:59, when it hits 12 a.m., you still got a stink attitude. But it's a new year, new me. I don't care. Because you have not dealt with the trash that you've just been hiding. Nothing's gonna change. If you still are addicted at 11:59, if you're still offended and hurt, if you're still, you know, having a victim mentality at 9, ain't nothing gonna change when it hits midnight. Why? Because Paul said, one thing I do. One thing I do, I forget. What's the one thing you need to move on from? What's the habit you need to move on from that you know is hurting you? Can I go a little deeper? What's the person, oh Jesus, you need to move on from so that you can go do what God called you to do? Oh, mercy of God, I went there. Pastor, why'd you have to go there? What's the one person you're like, I love you, but you're crazy. I can't take you into 2018 because you see, I don't want to have the same year again. You see, I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to go to those places anymore. I don't want to forfeit my calling any longer. I don't want to sacrifice my gift
Because see, there's a new place God wants me to go to, and I love you, but the thing is, you can't manipulate me feeling guilty to keep you around when the truth is you're trying to drag me into my past when I'm not that person anymore. And God, I got baptized and I went to church and I got, oh, come on somebody. And the preacher said it's multiplication and acceleration. Hey, and you see, there's something, I don't, come on, who am I talking to today? You're cute, but you got a nice car, but you don't match with my future. Now, by the way, that's the single people, not married people. Put that under disclosure. I got to cover all bases nowadays, you know. That was a word from the Lord. No, it wasn't. Don't misinterpret what I said. Don't allow people to manipulate you to keep you to your past. I'm talking about people, friends. Because they say, oh, you know, you changed. Yeah, ever since you started going to church, you changed. You know, now you're like, you don't want to go out on Saturday. You got to wake up Sunday for church. You got connection groups. What's that? Connection groups. You guys getting connected. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about? You changed. Can I tell you something? May that be the greatest blessing to your life.
Oh, Lord, I feel like preaching now. May that be the greatest blessing to your life. That when someone that used to know you, when someone from your past looks at you and said, you've changed, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. You're absolutely right. My attitude has changed. My outlook has changed. My spirit has changed. My emotional condition has changed. My goals have changed. My wants have changed. My dreams have changed. I used to want to go that way, but God did a work in my life, and 2018 is going to be a new year. Somebody shout and give God a praise if you change. Tell four people, say, I changed. Tell them I changed. You better bring the piano player up here. I will preach till New Year's Eve. I got somebody changed. It's the greatest thing. The caterpillar always tells the butterfly, you changed. You used to chill with us. But then you went into that place that was all dark and they had lights and stuff. We didn't see you for a couple weeks. Then you came out and all of a sudden you're like different. But they don't realize that you went through a metamorphosis. And I don't know who I'm speaking to the second service. And they don't realize that what you've gone through in 2017 was a cocoon of metamorphosis. And what they don't realize is the dark things you had to suffer were actually building something inside of you that was preparing you for a year of multiplication and I told you I am a prophet this morning, and I'm prophesying to some man, some grandfather, some grandmother. I'm prophesying to some young person, some married couple, some new mother, some new father. I'm prophesying to you is that God says, I'm about to take you from caterpillar to flying. If you would just allow me. You're cute, but you're crazy. I gotta move. Can I go a little deeper? Oh, I'm all up in your kitchen now making you breakfast. Okay, here we go. Who do you need to unfollow? Move on. That little button. Because you say you're moving on, but the truth is you're stalking them all the time. Let me check up on them. And you got that face too. Move on. Move on. One thing I do. Paul says, I don't do 10. I don't do 9. One thing I do. He'll write his goals later, and he'll talk about the upward call in a minute. But he says, but one thing I do. First, I forget what's behind. Then that gives me permission to step forward. But I do not have permission or the anointing to step forward if I'm still trying to bring all of this with me. I have to unhook the trailer. I have to move on. I got to get healed. Who do you need to move on? What addiction do you need to move on from? Because if you bring that with you, it ain't gonna work. One thing I do, forget. Can I go a little bit deeper? This is not only talking about failures. This is also talking about successes. Maybe we need to forget even the successes of 2017. Because sometimes, you know, as believers, we like wear badges on our coat, like, I won someone to Jesus back in 1974. I did my duty for the Lord. One thing I do. That was 1974. But I cleared the slate. It's 2018. I ain't gonna live on last year's successes. I'm not gonna live on yesterday's manna. I'm not gonna live on yesterday's encounter with God. I'm not gonna live on what I did for Him last year. I'm not gonna live on all, because that was last year. One thing I do, forget what's behind me, and I press on towards what is ahead.
Thanks for tuning in. We pray you're encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media. See you next week.